Mechaber and the Shach. Specifically, we noted that the Shach and the Taz and others disagree with the Mechaber, who says that if you put Afer in the water, it's mutter because of no same time of gum. But we didn't understand why anybody would disagree, because applying the basic principle of no same time of gum seems to make a lot of sense. Assuming that the Metzias is true, then it's true. It's pogimit. If it's pogimit, what possible problems could arise? And moreover, the Shach's Raya was very questionable, because maybe this is effective, but it's not Haggalah. The Shach's question, Tosis's question was that there's no way to do Haggalah for Kli that's Ben Yomo if it's a large pot. Okay, it's true. Even according to the Mechaber, there's no way to do Haggalah. The Mechaber just says that you could do another means of koshering. It would be effective. So was Liban, for that matter. So that's a question. So we'll see in a moment that there are two ways to understand what the Mechaber is saying over here. Probably many more than two ways, but two ways we're going to consider. And there's what we call the conventional way. I don't call this the conventional way, but Rabbi Shechter calls it the conventional way. And then there's what Rabbi Shechter calls the Chazon Ish way. And I also wouldn't call it the Chazon Ish way. But since we're all Talmidim Rabbi Shechter, we'll
save a lesson, Rabbi, if you don't agree with it.
Well, I'll explain to you why I disagree with it. So, what's the conventional way? Many texts. I'll tell you one of them in a moment. Anyway, so the conventional way is the following. The Mechaber, according to the conventional way, actually holds of an incredible chiddush here. And that is that not only is it true that the Afer is pogame the taroves of water and meat and milk that's all mixed up here, but Afer is pogame the belios. Meaning to say that if you went ahead and what happens over here? So let's say you put the milchik dish in and you put the fleishik dish in and you cooked it up for a while and then you added some soap. So the dishes are already treif. And then you put in the Afer. The Afer effectively is pogim the blios. So then that's very problematic. Because if Afer could be pogim blios, it's very easy to be magil any kli, even without shishim, ben yomo. And moreover, the placey says, I'll tell you an even better kasha. He says, if the Beis Yosef's right, then why can't you kasher a kli cheres? Because you just cook a kli cheres in water with some Afer in it, and now the blios in the kli cheres are pagum, and you just kashered it, or for that matter, kli shaton libun. In other words, if you think that it is possible to be pogame a kli, not just the contents of the pot, but the blios in the kli, so then the chiddush of the Mechaber is very problematic, and we could certainly understand why so many of the Gdolei Achronim reject it. However, I don't know why anybody would learn the Mechaber this way. Because the Mechaber writes specifically that we're talking about a case where you put the Afer in first. In other words, the Mechaber would certainly disagree if you put in the milchik dishes that are dirty and the fleishik dishes that are dirty and you cooked it up and then you added the Afer. Maybe they remain treif. Why? Because I don't know that, for example, is bolaya anything from the Afer. Who says that the Afer has the ability to be pogam blios? And that's meduyak in the Mechaber, because Mechaber Dafka says that you put the Afer in first. Why first? If you learn the Mechaber like the Placey, so even if you put the Afer in afterwards, it should effectively be pogam the blios. Why do you have to put in the Afer first? Very simple. When you put the Afer in first, so then the water becomes pogam, the water, tarovas of water, plus milchix, plus fleshix, everything becomes pagum. And memela, any blios into the pot will now be pagumim, and memela, the plates are kosher. But it doesn't mean that you could kasher a kli cheres, for example, using hagala with water and afer. Why? Because when it comes to a kli cheres, we don't know if the blios that were absorbed ever left, and we don't know if this afer comes in and whether it could affect those blios and be poking those blios within the walls of the pot. And therefore, the kasha of the plesi falls away. And it's not just me that makes this ha'ar on the plesi, the Chavos Das and Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Gilyon, but not in a Gilyon of my Shulchan Aruch. You have to go to the old Shulchan Aruchs, or probably the new fancy Shulchan Aruchs. So the Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Gilyon of some of the Shulchan Aruchs makes this point explicitly, as well as the Chavos Das. Bevadei lonucha lomar da balua bekli nifgan dim kein davar tzarch libun lehani agala be'efer. Elevade rakma sheniflat nifgam be'efer, against the placey. And again, the Chavos Das makes exactly the same point. Now, if you ask, so Rav Shechter says, when he presents this, he says, who made this point? The Chazon Ish. So, I don't know why it's attributing it to the Chazon Ish, though. The Chazon Ish does make this point, but it's also the Chavos Das and Rabbi Akiva Eger and the like. In fact, it's everybody besides the placey. But Rav Shechter thinks that the conventional understanding is like the plesi, and he thinks that Mikra didn't we follow the conventional understanding, and Bnei Torah should be machmir for the Chazon Ish. Now, Chazon Ish is in Or HaChaim and in Yerideya. It's more or less the same thing, maybe even exactly the same thing. It's in Yerideya it's Chav Gimel Aleph, and in Or HaChaim it's Kuf Chav Beis Vav.
I
we'll get to the Chazon Ish. We're going to say the whole thing. But the Chazon Ish assumes everything I said, but he adds a bunch of things. I didn't finish the Chazon Ish. But he certainly agrees with the Rav Akiva and the Chavos Das that it's pashut that you can't be poli and blios, even according to the Chavos.
Doesn't Shmuel your quotes, some who say that it works on blios, not on the end, some who say the opposite?
Who?
Shmuel your quote.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. So that's. That is point that now, why is this such a big nafgamina? So it's a big nafgamina. This is one context where Rabbi Shechter says this, is in the Starbucks Shaila. Now, again, we'll get to the Chazon Ish in just a moment, but if you look at the article written by Rabbi David Cohen on the Starbucks question, which you can pull up, it was published in the Contemporary Journal of Halacha and Society. And it's also available on the CRC website. And Rabbi Cohen, by the way, who was the Safra Dedina at the OU and now works for the CRC, is a tremendous, tremendous bucky in all this. The Metzias and the Halacha. No, different Rabbi David Cohen. He lives in Chicago. Anyway, so he presents the issue in the same exact way. He says... And then I asked him, I figured he must be quoting Rav Shechter, and it turns out he was. He writes, now again, why is this Starbucks Shaila Shaila? Because in the Starbucks case, you went ahead, and in the first cycle, there is treif kalim and kosher kalim, and there's mamish ben. But there's also soap in the first cycle of the dish machine. A little different than the dishwasher, we'll get to that in a moment. And in the second cycle, it's a clean rinse. So, let's say, some say you could be makel because of the first cycle. Why? Because the first cycle is soap, so it's pogame, so the chazer schmaltz cannot possibly trafe up the kosher kalim that are used to make the coffee. But, in the second cycle, there's no soap. So, why don't we say that the blios through the hot water go from the trafe kalim to the kosher kalim, and it happens to be there even kli cheres there. Most of the treif kalim are kli cheres, so they're balua with treif blios, mamish treif. They put them in the oven with bacon on them, right? So the blios go from the treif kalim to the kosher kalim. That's the shaila, that's the tzad lahachmir. So he writes, some have suggested that once the utensil has been washed with hot water, which is mixed with something that is no sein tam lefgam, that pogum taste should become absorbed into the walls of the utensil, thereby ruining the flavor of the absorbed taste. If so, if the subsequent washing was done without soap, it should still be impossible for palatable non-kosher taste to be absorbed into the kosher utensil. In other words, since you basically kosher the treif kalim in the first cycle, because in the first cycle the treif kalim are boleya soap, that makes these kli cheres kosher effectively, or at the very least unable, and therefore unable to treif up the kosher kalim. He continues, in fact, many followed this position until some 75 years ago, when the Chazon Ish asked the following logical question. And he asks all the questions that the Chavos Das and Rebbe Weger asks. So I don't know what happened 75 years ago. So, and then he says, so according to the Chazon Ish, it should be a problem, and according to the conventional understanding, it would be mutter. And when I asked Rabbi Schechter about the Starbucks question, that's what he said. He said, the conventional understanding would say it's mutter, the Chazon Ish would say it's aser, and the Bnei Torah should follow the Chazon Ish, and the, not the conventional. And the regular people, you know, everybody else who could follow the conventional understanding. So I emailed Rabbi David Cohn, and I said to him, why are you calling it 75 years? What happened to the Rebbe Weger and the Chavos Das? And again, forget the word in the Mechaber. Why does he say A for Kodim? To which he replied, I don't have a specific sefer to point to you that says that the common understanding is to be lenient about pegima. But I say it from speaking to people. Whenever I or others discuss this type of question with a Rav who is from an earlier generation, i.e. older than 50 or 60 years old, their initial reaction is, but the soap is pogame the equipment. When we point out that the Chazon Ish says otherwise, their response is, that makes sense, but nevertheless the assumption before the Chazon Ish was to be lenient. So, I don't know what to do with this, but that is the point. Now, it happens to be that it's true if you follow this quote-unquote conventional understanding. Again, the conventional understanding is the placey, but the placey, because that's his conventional understanding, says the Mechaber makes no sense and utterly rejects it. So there's no one that actually paskins like the conventional understanding, as far as I know. But that's what he says. Okay, now what does the Chazon Ish say? So the Chazon Ish adds in a couple of interesting points. First of all, let's go back to our first question. We said that Lamaisa, if it's Pagum, so how could anybody argue with the Beis Yosef? So his answer is, you're right. If you were to, let's say, go ahead and mix bleach in, you washed your dishes, you know, milchiks and fleishiks together with mamashas, and you first put in some bleach. So the Shach and the Taz and the Gra would all certainly agree that, in that case, the bleach or the ammonia, or whatever it is totally pogging the entire taroves, and no treif blios will be nivlan to the kosher kalim, and everything will be fine and dandy. But that's not what we're talking about over here. And nobody would ever try to kosher anything that way in the olden days when actually there were blios, because it would make the food that you cooked subsequently terrible, right? It would taste like bleach. Remember, until recently, the blios clearly affected the taste of the food that was cooked subsequently. V'haraya timas kfela worked, right? So nobody would want to ever kosher with bleach because it would ruin your pot or your plates. Imagine like everything afterwards tasting like bleach. You know, sometimes I do the dishes, so I don't quite do a good job rinsing off the dishes afterwards. So the food that you taste next tastes like soap, right? Well, in the good old days of blios and porous kalim, I suppose, then that could happen. So that's not what we're talking about over here. But if you did that, then everybody would agree it's mutter. Now, you might not call that hagalah, because that's sort of a different method of effectively koshering, but it's true that if you koshered using that method, that's going to be the machlokas between the Mechaber and the Shach, whether we call that a gala, and therefore whether there's going to be a kosher from Tysus from there. But it would work. It would work. If you took a ben yomo kli and you put it into another kli, even without shishim, and you mixed in bleach, it would effectively kosher it. Okay? Maybe the Shach thinks that would be called Hagalah, and the Beis Yosef, maybe he doesn't, and therefore he wouldn't be bothered by Tosfos. But
Shach said it wouldn't work.
No. Everybody would get it would work. We call it Hagalah. But you'll see where I'm going in a second. Now, but everybody would agree it would work. That's the point. Because how could it not work? There's no possible reason why it wouldn't work. So what are we talking about? We're talking about Afer over here. Afer does not have that property. Because it's Afshar Lasanino. If you go ahead, I didn't try this, but if you go ahead and you mix in some of the Afer, the types of things that they were using for soap, and then you poured it through a Misanein, you strained it in a cloth, let's say, or something like that, the water would come out clean. In other words, it's not like Blios. Afer is not integrated and absorbed, and it's not water soluble in the same way that that Blios are. Right? If you have some Blios in a pot, you had a clean pot, and you cooked up water in the pot, and then you poured it through a strainer, the strainer would not isolate the Blios, right? The Blios would go through. They're soluble in the water. Whereas Afer is Me'urav, but certainly not to the same degree. It's Afshar Lasanino. And therefore, the Shach says, we can't assume that the Blios are Nifgamim. It might be effective in preventing. Now, and even the Beis Yosef could agree with that. The Beis Yosef, though, is Mechadesh, that it's effective to prevent the Basar B'chala from being Chal. Because the water, which is the medium in that case, is Pagam. And the Shach says, if you were to try to kasher with this, it would be considered Hagalah. Which is why, therefore, he thinks it can't be right, because then it's against Tosfos. And that's where the Mechaber would say, no, it's not Hagalah and the like. But the Chazon Ish, as I said, agrees that everybody would say that if it's something that really is Pogame, not Afer, but ammonia and bleach or something like that, it would work. And therefore, this is a kula that kashrus organizations use, at least if they're in a pinch. I think l'chatchila we don't kasher this way. We try to only do hechsher kelim either with shishim or eino ben yomo. But sometimes you don't have an option. For example, they need a kasher a hotel for a event. Now, maybe you shouldn't eat at hotels, but they need a kasher it. So I'm having a yeshiva dinner at the Ritz-Carlton. So you can't go ahead and rent the Ritz kitchen for 2 days, which would be necessary to kasher everything for Eino Ben Yomo. And you know, if you don't make the stuff fresh, then there's no point in paying $300 a plate for the Ritz. Just leftovers that they cooked that morning in Brooklyn. Many kasher organizations will go ahead and they'll kasher up the Ritz. But
is it hot water with the bleach?
So what they don't do bleach. Bleach actually does come out in the next round. But they use ammonia or some other things. And that allows you to effectively kasher. Many poskim say you shouldn't rely on this l'chatchila, because for one thing, we only kasher l'chatchila with water. Rav Moshe says you could only be make a l'tzarach gadol, and even then he wants you to be do Hagalah twice to be make and it won't work for Kli Charis for the reasons that the Chavos Da said, right? Because we don't even know if the Blios go in or the like. But it would work for something that Hagalah works for.
Was that
what? No, you don't have shishim. Because whenever you have a Kli Shetef, when you boil up the water, we assume all Blios leave. And then they get mixed in with the ammonia, and therefore, even though they go back in, they're going back in as Pagum. Igros Moshe, Yaradeya Chelik Base at the end of Simon Lamed Aleph. Towards the end. Okay.
Why do we say that if the whatever is coming into the Pogam is Pogam the thing from the start, like I was saying, so then whatever Blios went into the walls, those are the same as the food. Meaning, why are we differentiating between the food mitzvahs and the
because even you mean why would the shach still be machmir?
What's the time of the machmir if you
in the shach's case?
I don't understand the chavis das and the
very simple. The shach, I mean, that's not the chavis das. That's the machaber. The machaber says he did it first.
So I'm saying, why isn't first okay? Why is
because it's because we're talking about afer. An afer does not get integrated, and therefore the blios aren't necessarily pegumim.
Even in the food.
Because that's what Sana knows.
And the food's pogum, why are we saying that?
It's not clear. We don't.
It needs to go into the wall. I mean, why can't we just say that the food becomes pogum, so then whatever comes out of the food is also pogum?
Okay, but maybe. And you're saying.
Something escapes from the food into the wall.
You're saying, yeah, let's say.
Not pogum?
Maybe. In other words, it doesn't totally ruin it. So if you have some schmaltz from fish that touches the milch kli and it's all being boiled up in a pot, it goes right into the walls of the pot.
I thought the Chazon Ish was saying that it's never going to work on a kedera because mifra doesn't make a kedera problem. There's no.
That's true also.
That's what I thought.
But we have to explain why the Shach and the Taz are disagreeing with the Mechaber, even though you put the Efer in first. You still have to explain it.
It seemed like he was noted to be siding with the.
Maybe he is, but you still have to explain it.
Right. It sounded like you were saying it's not muchrach what the Shach is saying, and he was trying to.
Right, it's not muchrach because the kasha that the Shach asks is in muchrach because you could claim it's not hagala. Right. That's true.
But he still has to.
You have to. They have a tenable position, right? There are some technical questions. That prichadash. All right, we'll leave those aside.
Why is it here?
You're Ali.
Doesn't that seem like more like the Bishchishu was understanding that the point is that doesn't allow the
yeah. Well, that's part of to be chal
because of not bar, more like a not bar not type of star.
Well, that could be. In other words, that. I mean, I think it's here because the dishwashing sugya is here. Yeah. I think it can't be medayik that much. In other words, we know why the dishwashing sugya is here, right? And the Mechaber told us that if the plates are clean, then it works because he doesn't hold the sefer tumas. And then he says, but if it's dirty, it doesn't work. And then he says, oh, but you should know that if you put in ashes, then it does work. Okay. Lemaisa, even though the Shach and Hataz are machmir, the Chachmas Adam and Yerach HaShulchan do pass him like the Mechaber. The Pri Chadash is also make the only baths in Meruba, and the like. And as I said, it could be everybody would agree when it's really something caustic like ammonia or the like.
I thought we were saying before that like it's not so pashut that even bleach would be pogim food. Like
it is pashut.
Like what? Like that?
Bleach is pogim food.
What about the very little? Wasn't there something about if it's the N, it's only if it's very little?
I mean, you could taste it. You can experiment and find out how much is needed. I'm saying.
Don't do that.
Is it a mitzvah thing?
If it's pogame, it's pogame. If it's not, it's not. Right? I don't know how much. Take some water from your swimming pool, that is bleach in it, and mix it with your food and see what happens.
So the discussion before that, let's say, maybe if it's the end, it can't become pogame, that was something that...
I don't know what discussion you're referring to.
Iran says if there's a little bit of food,
yeah.
Then
no, that's a totally different point. You're talking about the Machlokas Rashba and Ran?
I don't know.
That's a different Machlokas. That's an idea, the following. In the Sugya of... Oh, that one? That's a different point also. That is that if you have the Shach's understanding of the Mechaber was that this is similar to the case of a little bit of Shamnunis where we have different rules. And that the Mechaber was Mekil here not when there's large amounts of shamnunis, but just a little bit of shuman karushalav. And in that case, maybe it's more likely to become pagum. And that's how we use miyashe the tazis kasha from Peizayin. Yeah?
Okay, but isn't that going with the premise that only a little bit?
Okay, but the point is if you have so even if that's true, that's the point. In other words, even the mechaber is only mako by afer when the shach seems to claim when we're dealing with a little bit. If you're dealing with a lot, the mechaber himself wouldn't be mako, right?
Right.
Good. But if you put in enough bleach, then anything is going to become pagum. Now, how much you need, I You want to check.
So,
but anyway, none of this is relevant for the case that where you're the case we were talking about before when you want to do Haggalah, because there it's totally clean. You just need to be poking in the water. Right? All that's totally irrelevant.
What's the shot divider thing that they always write? The Starbucks quit thing? You should tell them to remove the shot divider.
The shot divider.
It says you can't have regular coffee.
Okay, so we'll talk about Starbucks in 1 second. Now let's talk about Lamaise of Starbucks. Okay. So, when it comes to Starbucks, the ingredients are okay, at least in plain coffee, meaning to say, plain coffee doesn't really need hechsher, water, you know, you can have your opinion, but let's assume for now it doesn't need a hechsher. Sugar doesn't need a hechsher, milk doesn't need a hechsher if one is mekel, one is tam chalav. So, the ingredients should be okay. So the problem is with kalim, and this is more of a problem at the full serviced Starbucks, where they mamish have kalim that are used with treif, like the porcelain plates that the sandwiches are heated in the oven, and then they're washed together either in the same dishwasher, it's the dish machine, or the same, they use a three-part sink. In other words, the first sink has soap and water mixed, so that's no Saint Tam Lafgam. But the second sink, where they're rinsed off with plain hot water, doesn't contain soap. So that would be more of an issue. So I told you what Rabbi Schechter says about this, but we also said L'chora, that's a very questionable kula in light of the Chavos Das and Miki Beger in the Pasha reading of the Mechaber. However, the reason why L'chora it's okay is for a different reason, because of what we said earlier about dishwashers, which is that everything is Iroi Shenifsa Kaki Luach, so you can't possibly really treif up the kosher kalim. And it happens to be that these dish machines that they use are much better, less halachically problematic than dishwashers, because they don't, again, we said with dishwashers you could make the case that the whole thing is like one giant Kli Rishon Al Ha'esh. Even if it's Iroi Shenifsa Kaki Luach, whereas the dish machine is even less of a problem. It doesn't quite work that way. And therefore, the reason to be makel is not because, and Rabbi Cohn, I think, eventually really makes this point, though he doesn't say it exactly in the article, but I think he agrees to the point, which is the reason to be makel is not because of the conventional reading of the Mechaber, but rather it's because there's Iroi Shenifsa Kaki Luach, which could not allow for the transfer of Isser into the Heter. And Rabbi Willig also thought that's why Mikra Din, it's Mutter. He said that, you know, it's not a silly chumra to be Machmir, but Mikra Din, it's Mutter. Now, the irony is, which we sort of pointed out last time, but now you could fully appreciate it, is that, like, L'chatchila, we won't tell you to, you could even use the same dishwasher from Milchiks or Fleishiks, one after another. But at a Starbucks, you're using the same dishwasher from Treif and Kosher Bevasachas, and we're saying it's okay. So what's the difference? The answer is that the standards are very different, and you see this in many places we've seen through the Shulchan Aruch, between what you would allow in your own kitchen to happen versus something that somebody else is doing and you're buying it afterwards. But in light of that, there's definitely room to be machmir. Now,
there's basis for people who eat out that don't...
Well, eat out what?
Kitchen,
no.
But eat out.
Eating out at a treif restaurant, there's no basis for it. What there is a basis for is perhaps certain things that you wouldn't allow in your own kitchen, like washing milchiks and fleishiks dishes together in the same dishwasher, but you'll, if a guy does it and you want to buy that product, it's okay. Both. So I'm still not sure what you're referring to, but just a couple of other points. They point out espresso is better because espresso machines are self-cleaning and don't run into all these problems. Now, there are some updates in the CRC and also the Star-K for changes since the article first appeared. The Starkei is a very interesting theory, which is like this. Another tzadl hakel also would be that stam kelim are enim b'nei yoman for the coffee. No, in other words, the kosher coffee. Let's say they did become trafed up by the process of dishwashing, but they're stam kelim b'nei yoman. When we paskin into min kufchav beisivav, that davar shenase b'shvilo, this is talking about, again, buying stuff from a guy where the ingredients are kosher, but they're made on traf kelim, that... Afal pishu shalvikucham yisrael konem imenu lechatchila moter demeachas shekvar nase biyad gai mikri diaved afal pichein aser lo melachucham basheli yirakos bikte rascha, but that might not be here. In other words, you're not telling them to cook up the coffee. You're just going ahead and they basically pour it for you. Let's say in a standard coffee, as he said, already espresso is a little better anyway. So it's not so obvious. The Pischei Tshuva over there points out that there are acharonim that are machmir in the case where it's a kli that is most likely to be ben yomo, right? So you don't have this regular sfeik of eno ben yomo. He writes at Sifkat and Dalit over there. He says, Ayin shuvas mayim rabim shekasav chacham echad al inyan anis karzal ubar min deim gemin w yadua shekol v'chav hamochem heim aniyim ve'en lam kli acher levashel tavshilam. So others disagree. So, you know, if it, because you only need it, no, you only need a sveik sveika. Stam kli eno ben yomo is based off of a sveik sveika. That's not necessary. Well, if one is 50-50, the other one might be enough to tip it over. That gets up back into a quality sveik sveika. Now, over here, you have to find out, how many sets of kelim do they have? I think, the brew basket is one of the questions. So do they just have one brew basket that they wash every day and then reuse that same day and the like, or not? I'm not sure about the Metzias. Agav, since we're talking about Rav Shechter, so Rav Shechter also thinks that it's Aser al Shecher Akum. So that would mean that if you do buy Starbucks coffee, you can't eat it at the Starbucks store, only outside. Many poskim are makel about that shayla. We could go back to our shiurim on the shayla. And Willig told me that there's makom l'hachmir, but there's minig to be makel for dating. Tzarech gadol, tzarech mitzvah. Otherwise, you should be machmir. Okay.
He said, it's
chasnas,
but we want that
chasnas. Right. now, if you look at the Starkei article, I'm not going to go into all the their haros, and they give a whole chart of what they think. They have a very interesting theory, which is that you have to be very machmir about a lot of things in Baltimore, but when traveling, it's okay. So, for example, regular coffee or cappuccino or, latte or the like, mocha frappuccino. So then you could be makel outside of Baltimore. Assuming if you're reading this, you're probably from Baltimore. So you could be makel while traveling. And machmir... You should be machmir. Now, at first I read that and I thought this was like a very strange psak, because if you think it's aser and you could only be makel, so would you really need Starbucks? Even if you're falling asleep, so I don't know, you could buy Coke or the like. Is it like such a big deal? So I assume. I'll tell you what they quote. They quote a note of Yehuda who is based off of Psak of Yad Ephraim, who quotes a note of Yehuda who discusses coffee houses. And the question there revolves, again, there it's a different shaila. The question is, could you use their mugs? I guess they didn't have paper cups in those days. So, because their mugs were used for non-Chalav Yisrael milk. So the note of Yehuda says, that under normal circumstances you have to be machmir, but when you're traveling and there's no alternative, it's a bediavid situation and you could be mekel. So the same thing they say for Starbucks. So I assume what they're coming at, what they're basically saying, is that that this is really 100% mutter. Because otherwise they wouldn't just say, oh, whenever you're traveling, you could be mekel. But it's like Roy Lahachmir, you know, if you're near your house and you live in Baltimore, there's so many easy places to get perfectly good coffee that to be mekel is mamish, it's not right. But if you're traveling, so you don't know where to get the kosher coffee, and that being the case, I think that must be what they hold. Now, in terms of the other difference between the Starkei and the CRC, so there's some differences. The CRC said that the Starkei isn't makbid on kavush, and that's why there are issues in utensils. The Starkei, when they changed their guidelines, said nothing changed. It's just now they have unfettered access to the ingredients and suppliers of these drinks, which they didn't have originally. Anyway, if you want, you could look at the Starkei website, and there's a long chart with everybody, every drink served at Starbucks, what's mutter at any Starbucks, and what's only mutter when traveling. Yes. We're done now, Simon Sadi Hey, and we're going to start Simon Sadi Vav after the questions.
Okay. Starbucks, right, so they have the iced, first of all, what does it do with the wand? For a cappuccino and a latte, so they steam the milk with a wand that sticks out of the espresso.
I myself have never drunk Starbucks coffee in my life, so I can't really tell you. I can't tell you that I know. Yeah, so I know what a wand is.
Right, so the wand sticks out, and they put the milk in it. And
is it used for anything besides milk?
But where do they talk about it at all? Because they're okay with cappuccinos.
In terms of cappuccinos, so they use that, right? So cappuccinos are mutter outside of Baltimore.
Okay.
I assume they're not worried about it. Ice drinks, they're also makel outside of Baltimore. What are the frappuccinos? Are ice drinks?
Yeah.
No, frappuccinos are mutter even in Baltimore.
They changed that recently.
Yeah, caramel frappuccino and mocha frappuccino are mutter even in Baltimore, assuming you're makel on the stam chalav.
So they're iced, but I guess they don't use like.
I don't know. I would have thought that they use brewed coffee to make it, and brewed coffee is also in Baltimore, but apparently they don't.
What's the difference?
I don't think they use a special.
Like when they do it in Dunkin' Donuts, they just. Yeah. That Dunkin' Donuts doesn't know what they do. They only charge like $4 for a cup of burnt coffee. You know, you have to spend $6 to get it. Anyway, obviously they did the Metzius investigations, and this is what they concluded. So I can't.
What's the difference between brewed coffee and frappuccino?
No, apparently, whatever they're worried about, the way they make frappuccinos don't have this problem. I don't know how they make frappuccinos.
It's called cold. Everything is cold in a frappuccino.
It's a cold press, right?
No, I'm saying they don't use brewed coffee. That's if they use a mix.
Okay.
They put a mix or a drink, and then they grind up ice.
Okay.
And put it in together.
So there you go.
A lot of whipped cream on top.
There's something that I've read in these charts and everything. Where they tell you to get the espresso, like Ruby said, to the self-cleaner.
Right.
And they always write this thing called, so they say, please tell them to remove the shot divider when they make the espresso.
You know what the thing is?
And I've asked them before, and they're just looking at me, and they're like,
No, that is. You know, it's like they put it on, and it splits into two.
Why would that be a problem?
Maybe because they wash it.
They wash it with the
turf
can.
It comes out.
Oh, it's its own thing.
Yeah, it's own thing. You put it on after you.
So you're able to tell them to not use that?
I don't know where it would just drip out and make a double. Yeah, tell them to do a single shot and not use it. I don't know why they wouldn't use it.
Okay. Yes.
That is a fake thing I just saw. Pastor Fakhtar Nadal says. I look, Chashin and Shana Kodkul, or you find the. So he says, the Israelite says, even if it's like you, and the Osabais, like the after TV, Shana Fine, he talks Vig Svega. Shana Lovel Shaman, and Vig Salana Kodkul, Shana Lovel Haisa Bas Yoma.
Right.
So wouldn't that be an example of a Vig Svega that.
I don't know what you're asking, I'm sorry.
that one of the tzadim isn't so gishmak?
That's again, that's a Hilchos Klal Yisrael Sfeika Shaila.
Since I use a shot glass.
I saw that. So I did say that to them, and they said, you don't use a shot glass.